as the snow.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789.
On a cold and gray
Chicago, you know, there's a development, a very quiet development that happened in the last several days that you may have even overlooked. Maybe the most momentous development in this whole drama surrounding Trump. It was revealed at the end of last week that Trump's legal team is in contact with and discussions with the Department of Justice. Now, let me tell you why that's momentous. And I'm going to tell you from personal experience, having practiced law a long time. When somebody thinks they're going to be criminally charged, and I'm not talking about, you know, the average kind of crime, but I'm talking about a white-collar crime or a very prominent individual with a very serious charge pending, either because they're targets or subjects of investigation. And in this case, Trump clearly is. It's very common for a good lawyer on the defense to contact the prosecutor and say, can we talk? The prosecutor never contacts them. The prosecutor never contacts them. They contact the prosecutor. Now, sometimes their intent is to go something like, well, you know, try to get information. What is it you're thinking of? What are you going to do? But frequently is to negotiate. And the prosecutor may say, look, I have your guy in several felonies, but I'll let him plead to one felony. And you say, no, I can't tolerate that, but he'll do a misdemeanor. And the other will say, no. In this case, I mean, this would be historically amazing. I mean, it's possible they could say, well, Trump will agree not to run for president in 2024. You agree not to prosecute him. I'm sure they haven't said that yet. I doubt that they would say that, but these are the kind of discussions that go on. So why is it momentous that these discussions are occurring? The reason it's momentous is that Trump's legal team, who presumably are among the best lawyers, well, a lot of good law firms, frankly, would not want him as a client, wouldn't take him because he doesn't pay. He stiffs them. He's notorious for being a deadbeat. But presumably this time, either he paid in advance or some people guaranteed it, and he is going to get good counsel. What that means is his people are worried. And unless you're calling the prosecutors just recreationally to try to get some info, which you're not going to get, then they may have had discussions, or they may have discussions shortly. And if that happens, here you're talking about a guy who's thinking he's running for president. I'm going to go to the lines. We have some word on a last call. And those of you, by the way, who try to call in, you may not have heard before, but I'm having a hearing, a sound issue on my side, not on Connor's side, not on the station side. So I can't hear you. So you are going to give your comments to Connor, my producer, and he's texting them to me. So Jean of Eau Claire called, and she commented on attack ads that were airing in her part of the state. She's from Eau Claire, that painted both Tony Evers and Tim Michaels in a negative light. And what are my opinion? That's very interesting. The Clayfish campaign, and this is quite sneaky, and this is Scott Walker's behind this. If you want 4 more years of Scott Walker, which God forbid I do not, and that's what you're going to get with Rebecca Clayfish. They're trying to lump Michaels and Evers together, and they attack them both on entirely different things, but just stick their names in the same ad. That ad was paid for by people behind Clayfish. And that is the kind of sneaky stuff that you will see the next 4 years. The fact is that Clayfish does not have what it takes to be governor. She doesn't have the gravitas. She's never run anything. She ran for lieutenant governor, and Walker didn't want her. It was a multi-party race back in 2010. And there were so many people that she got enough votes to sneak in as lieutenant governor. Lieutenant governor then recedes into the background. She didn't have to do anything in the general election. She did nothing as lieutenant governor, not a single thing. Then they lost, and now she's springing back as what? A candidate to do what? To run a government that has a well over 70-some-odd billion-dollar biennial budget? Scott Walker decimated the University of Wisconsin. Rebecca Clayfish will polish it off. It'll be one of the worst universities in the country. They simply starve it of money. The Republican Party is so anti-intellectual, and they're so opposed, really, to progress. They don't understand the gem we have, that the University of Wisconsin, the boundaries of the University of Wisconsin, are the boundaries of the state. It's the Wisconsin idea. It's fighting Bob La Follette. Fighting Bob La Follette was behind this. And Abraham Lincoln was the one who put aside land grant money for public universities so that people, kids coming out of high school in the Midwest could compete with kids from out East, where they had all these private colleges. Does anybody remember this? Clayfish would stick a knife in it. And it'll be Walker 2.0, and he will control her. He will control her, and her husband, Joel Clayfish, is the big lobbyist over there. You want that team running this state? You want that team running this state? I do not want that team running this state. So by trying to lump Michaels and Evers together, they have nothing in common at all. That's this sneaky tactic. Then we got a call from Joe from Madison. She says, Matt, what is your opinion on asking Republicans to switch to Evers specifically because of what he's done for small businesses? Joe, I think that's a terrific argument. I personally think that a lot of Republicans, especially in Waukesha, Washington, Ozaukee, Walworth, Racine, and that area, are going to vote Democratic for governor for a variety of reasons. What Tony Evers has done for small business has been basically, especially during COVID, to sustain them, much more so than any Republican would have done. Secondly, a lot of people do not like these attacks on our personal freedoms. You know, you talk about Roe v. Wade, but it goes beyond that. The Ninth Amendment, there is an amendment to the Constitution, by the way. You've heard of the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights. The ninth one says that even if a right is not enumerated in the Constitution, it still resides with the people. And by, for instance, overturning Roe v. Wade, what they're saying is that in some states don't even have a life of the mother exception. A woman not only can't control her own body, she can't defend her own life. I have a guy that I know, and I'm friendly with him, who is a Republican. And he came up to me, and, you know, there's a guy who is not necessarily think about a lot of these things in detail. And I don't know if he thought he was using the right words, but he says, you know, I'm beginning to think that the Republicans are trying to push us into communist government. By that he meant, you know, communism is a form of fascism. Fascism preceded communism by a little bit, but not much. Both of them, a cult of the leader, where the ruling class steals money and everybody else has no freedom. And, you know, everybody goes, oh, the Second Amendment? There's no Second Amendment in Russia or China or North Korea. You try to buy a gun in any of those places, you'll be thrown in jail. All your freedoms disappear when communism or fascism comes in. It's not funny at all. Absolutely not funny at all. So, Joe, I would say that's a great argument. That's not the only argument. You know, the fact of the matter is that in addition to everything Evers has done for small business, people are getting very uneasy with the idea that our democracy may get stripped away from us. I'll give you an example. You're a Republican out there? Okay. Give you an example. And I don't mean you, Joe. I mean whoever is a Republican out there. In October, they're going to hear a case, and the handwriting's on the wall. I think they're going to rule out of North Carolina, which will apply nationally, that if a state legislature does anything on elections, even if it says you don't have a right to vote for president, they'll pick the electors. Not only will a federal court not stop them, but the state Supreme Court and the state attorney general are prohibited from interfering. They're interfering in states' rights. This is a fascist court. This is an illegitimate court. And so, Joe, I would add that to the equation. Bill from Oconomowoc called. Bill, my friend, thank you for calling. Bill is a very principled guy, and he goes, Matt, would you be willing to guest one of the Clayfishes on the show and debate specifically about Rebecca gutting education Foxconn? And you know something, Bill? Absolutely, positively, I would love it. This station, at least my show, is open to everybody, Republicans and Democrats. I would love to have either of the Clayfishes. I would love to have Rebecca Clayfish. I would love to have Joel Clayfish come on my show. They can call in, or if they want me to schedule a time, I will. It's only worthwhile if she wins tomorrow. And frankly, I don't think she is competent to be governor. And frankly, I am getting very much of the opinion that Michaels is something like a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he would not be a good governor. But if anybody who wins tomorrow wants to come on this show, they are warmly invited. Bill, let them know that. You're out in Oconomowoc. I have relatives in Oconomowoc. You may know the Clayfishes better than I do, but they are warmly invited on this show anytime. Anytime. It's exciting. Tomorrow, the Senate race, you know, now everybody's dropped out, they think, except Mandela Barnes. Well, there are other people. There's Pete Pekarsky. There's Steve Olicara. Pekarsky, by the way, is the only candidate who has advertised continuously on the station. We're grateful for that. He has a degree in electrical engineering from MIT, of all places. He's an electrical engineer, and he's a guy, if he were on a committee, there'd be nobody that would be more knowledgeable about science if it came to climate change, weapon systems, cryptography, that kind of thing. You know, I haven't endorsed in this race. You have Mandela Barnes is a friend of mine, too, and Mandela is a fine man and a fine senator. And Steve Olicara called into my show, and we had a good discussion with Steve Olicara. But get out there and vote tomorrow. You may think, oh, well, you know, it's not worthwhile. What the heck? Yes, it is worthwhile. People look. They look and they measure relative enthusiasm. Relative enthusiasm. And if a lot more Republicans turn out than Democrats, because our Senate race got stripped of three of the front runners, then people go, oh, the Democrats aren't enthusiastic. Well, we are very enthusiastic. We're very committed to our democracy. And we're not going to stand by and watch Trump election deniers take over the state. And if you think that's not possible, it's starting to happen. Starting to happen. We're going to break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Hungry birds. So he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto.